speaking of everybody, where is everybody? This is supposed to be a whole week of special shiurim advertised so widely in Torah tidbits. All right, anyway, that's it. But I'm very happy for those of you who've come. And as I say, if we need any more chairs, Baylor, you'll bring in more chairs for the people staying in the back. You know, sometimes I have so much going on in my head before the shiur starts. Let me make a few things clear at the very outset. I plan on talking about Eliyahu HaNavi. We talked about him in the past, but I want to take it one step further. I will not be talking about Omer. I will not be talking about that. All right? So just don't sit around thinking that any minute you'll hear me pontificating. No, we're going to study Torah. Eliyahu HaNavi is to me so fascinating. I keep studying and studying about Eliyahu HaNavi. So let's begin. Let's take our sources. Just one. Is the camera going?
Yes, it's okay.
I forgot to get this going. So just for the... good morning. Okay. The first source number one is from the Shulchan Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says the following. The achash shosu hakos hashlishi. After you drink the third cup, nagim lomar shvo chamascha. After the third cup, then the minig is to say, Shvo Chamoscha, pour out your wrath against the nations of the world. Vilus Torah Hadelet, on top of the door, Kedei Lizkor, Shehulev, Shiburim, we open up the door because it's a night that is guarded and watched by God Himself. We're not afraid of having the door open. Ubeschus Emunazu, this is very important. In the schus of this faith, Yavo Mashiach, Vishpo Chamato Abamliyem. Mashiach is going to come and he's going to pour out his wrath against the Babylonians. When he uses the term Babylonians, he means it's a catchphrase for all Sonei Yisrael of all time. Shecharu Beit HaMikdash, those who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. V'alki Kodesh Beit HaMashiach, since before the coming of the Messiah, there will be the one who will announce him, Yavo Eliyahu. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come, Kiddiksev. Hinni Sholach Chamet Eliyahu HaNavi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaNora. By the way, he had the psukim there in number three. In number three, what I have is really the last few psukim of Sefer Zechariah. It is also the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol. Eliyahu already appears in the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol, and then of course he is a central figure at the second half of the Haggadah. And there it says, these are the last words of prophecy. Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, Zichru Torah Moshe Amdi, remember the Torah of my servant Moshe, Asher Tzivisios of Bechorev, that I commanded him in Chorev, that is in Sinai. I'll call Yisrael Chukum Mishpatim. I gave Moshe the Torah, which has in it all of the statutes of the laws. Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol HaNora. Before the day of God, the great and awesome day of God, I'm going to send Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who is going to announce the arrival of the Mashiach, and he's going to set the stage for his coming. The Haitian believe, oh, Sampanim, believe, Bonim, Alok, Arosam, he will bring the generations together, the hearts of the fathers to the sons, the hearts of the sons to the fathers. He's going to bring all generations back. Penahol less. The Hikati Atharat Skinam lest I destroy the world completely. And since the last few words are negative in a sense, therefore the person who reads the Haftarah repeats again the sentence of Hine Anochi Shalachem et Eliyahu Anovi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaKadosh Anor. So now let's go back to the Aruch HaShulchan in number one. All right, so he says Hine Anochi Shalachem et Eliyahu Anovi L'chein Hamina. Therefore, the minig is Muhammad Oth Kos Be'emtza HaShulchan. You should put another cup of wine in the middle of the table, the Kodemos of Kosei Shul Eliyahu, and it's called the cup of Eliyahu. And Yeshua Yunayigin Lamod Mehaseva. There are those whose custom was that, you know, they're lying inclined the night of the Seder. They would get up because Eliyahu is coming. Veloma and say Baruch Haba. I believe that's precisely what, in fact, we do. We open up the door, we stand up, and we say with a loud voice, Baruch Haba, Ve've Eliyahu. Blessed is the one who comes in. Va'kol Chizuk Hamona. All of this is in order to strengthen the faith that we believe with perfect faith. That there will be Mashiach. Animanim b'emuna shalema b'viat ha-Mashiach. I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Mashiach. Ki kach onu mekubolim, because we have received this as a Masorah tradition, that Nisan nigalu, Jews were originally redeemed in the month of Nisan, ubi Nisan asidin lidoya. And in this they're going to be redeemed again. Kedeisa beperikama the Rosh Hashanah, as it says in the first parak of the Sefer Rosh Hashanah. V'lachein ve'ez gvar ha-seder, by the end of the seder, kodem amiras lo lonu ki l'shimcha te'kavot. Before we say the rest of Hallel, we had already said the first two paragraphs of Hallel before the meal began. We continue the Hallel now. On mit Odin Shagitain Kavod Blishmo Hagodol Yidbarach, we become aroused to the idea that we want the Rabbi Yisrael to bring, give great honor for his blessed name. And therefore, we look forward, Rabbi Yisrael, send us Eliyahu, after Eliyahu, Mashiach, and then will come, of course, the moment at which Vahoy Hashem Lamelach HaKof Haaretz, God is going to be the king over the whole land. Therefore, the Haggadah says, number two, Moskin Kos Revius, you pour the fourth cup, the Kos and the cup of Eliyahu HaNavi. You potchim et ha-delet, you open up the door, le ha-ot in order to show shalel shimurim hu, it's the night of guarding, the night of watching. I'm shrei chamascha. Yesh nagim lama piska zu ba-amida u ba-chisat ha-kos. Are those who say it with the standing and holding our own cup of wine. Shvei chavas chavagoy, pour out your wrath against the nations. Ashalom yedavucha hu nonunat. Ba'al mamrachot in kingdoms asher vishim chalo koro. That don't call in your name. Ki ochalas Yaakov, because he destroyed Yaakov et Noveihu Yishamu. And his house, the Bet HaMikdash, they have laid desolate. Shvach alein poran alem za'amecha. Your anger, the charav apcha, your wrath, yasi gen, should reach them. Tirdov ba'af v'tashmidein mitachar shmei Hashem. Let your anger, your wrath, pursue them and destroy them from beneath the heavens of God. Right? In number four, Eliyahu, wherever we go, Eliyahu HaNavi seems to be following us. Invention. Harachaman, who yishtachlon was Eliyahu HaNavi Zochol HaTov. The merciful one, the compassionate one, should send Eliyahu HaNavi, Yivas Elonu, to say, his Tokos, Yeshua's and Chorus, and he will tell us good news. Where's the rest of that? I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, he should bring the message of salvation and consolation to the Jewish people. And then in number five, there are a whole series of harachamons that are said at a Brit Milah. And remember, Brit Milah, of course, and we'll see why. Brit Milah, the baby is placed on Kisei Shel Eliyahu, the chair or the throne of Eliyahu, and in the benching after a Brit. So one of the harachamons, there are a number of added harachamons. Harachamon Yishlachlonu Kohen Tzedek, may the compassionate one send us the Kohen Tzedek, the righteous Kohen, Asher Lukach Le'ilon, who was taken into hiding. He disappeared. Elio was taken heavenward alive. Chazal say Elio was of those who arrived in heaven alive. He never died. Vayolet Pona Badato Vayiglom. The prophet covered his, it's a pasuk in Tanakh there. He covered his face with his mantle. And the Ti Haita, he told, my covenant was with him, Achayim V'Hashalom. Achayim V'Hashalom. Okay? Life and peace. Now there is an opinion that Eliyahu Zeh Pinchas, the Kohen Pinchas, the one who struck down Cosby Bar Zur and Zimri Ben Salu, he later became Eliyahu. That means he's been around for a long, long time, and we believe that Ben Hashem, that's right. Eliyahu is alive and well. Eliyahu is alive and well. And we're going to him we're going to say, pour out your wrath against the nations who don't know you. All right. There is something that has caused me a great deal of pain during the last while. And in part, the shir is a reaction to that. You know what? We know each other. All my secrets are safe with you. I can tell you whichever I want. I've come across it now with greater frequency in the pages of Hamudia, in the pages of Datei Ne'aman, I think also in Mishpacha magazine. And it just, two weeks ago, I just exploded into a paroxysm of holy anger. My anger is always holy. Just that. What is it that has shaken me to the core? 2 weeks ago, they quoted an Ahmadiyya, some great Rav from Europe, who said, and this is something that has been said, I mean, I've seen it, as I say, with greater frequency, and it blew my mind away. We now find ourselves in the worst golos of all, a golos by Eden. Never heard that? Well, I can show it to you. It's said so glibly, and nobody stops to think how absolutely, not false, but absolutely ugly. In other words, what it means, of course, is anybody who says that doesn't have a clue that anything has changed in the Jewish world in the last 66 years. Oh, you know who we are, love of. In a terrible goal, the worst goal of them all. I imagine according to that, we're asking to Elio, Shvoi Chamos, call those guys that keep us in exile, we're in exile over here. And this is worse than Tsarist Russia. Yeah. Fascist Germany. Cossack Poland.
Inquisition, Spain. The gallows we're in right over here. Shemu Shemayim. It makes me sick. It makes me sick. And people say it glibly. Glibly. It's unbelievable. I fear for their neshamas when they're going to stand before the heavenly bar of justice. God's wrath is going to be poured out against them. For heaven's sake, don't you see what I've done for Claudius Yisrael the last 65 years? Where have you been all this time? Alright? So you see, that got me very upset, you know? That's something to get you upset. And then I spoke to some young man, Talmud Chacham, and I asked him, is this statement true, that we find ourselves now in the worst gullus we've ever been? Now, his answer was extremely honest, and at the same time, extremely shocking. He says, you know, I don't really know history that well. In other words, like it could be, yeah, maybe this is the worst scholars we've ever been. But he has no history. I mean, why doesn't he know history? Because he didn't learn history. He didn't learn math. He didn't learn English. Okay? Doesn't know history. Shalom Shalom. Doesn't know history. Doesn't have any general knowledge of history. You don't know nothing. But he's honest enough to say, you know, I don't know history. Let's take a closer look at Elio Anovi. And then maybe, if I have guts, I may read parts of a letter that I sent Sunday morning to Hamudia, which the chances are they'll never publish it. And incidentally, if they do publish it, my grandchildren could forget about getting shidduchim. but of course, what will happen is that this will have an honorable place in the unpublished letters of Shalom Gold. A whole bunch of them. It's a whole book already. But watch, we have to follow Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi is absolutely awesome. Watch. Number six, the left-hand side. Somehow or other, I'm going to try and we're not going to go through the whole thing, but the second sentence. Maruch HaPoh Eliyahu. Eliyahu has fled from before Achav and Yizehel. Yizehel wants to kill him. And he has made his way out to Chorev, to the mountain of God, someplace in the Sinai Peninsula. And God appears to him and he says to him, Maruch HaPoh Eliyahu. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? Vayomer. Here comes the response of Eliyahu. Kano, Kineti, Lashem, Elokei, Tzvachot. I have acted with great zeal for Hashem, God of the legions. Why? Ki Ozbu. Ozbu Britcha b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Et mizbechotecha harasu. This is Eliyahu talking to God. They have shattered your altars. Et nevi'echa harabu b'chorev. Your prophets they killed by the sword. Voivater anilvadi and I alone remain. Voivachuet nafshi l'karta. And even I, they want to kill me. They want to take my life away. Vayomer, God said to him, say vavadato b'chor, go out and stand on the mountain. Vinei Hashem over, and behold, God passes. V'ruach gedolah v'chazak. The Farei Kharim was Shabir slain. There's a terrible, terrible wind, a divine wind that crushes and destroys rocks, tears apart mountains. And you know what? Lo Baruch Hashem. God isn't there in that frightening and terrifying, powerful wind. Lo baruch Hashem. Ba'achah ruach rash. And after that powerful wind came an earthquake. Lo baruch Hashem. No, God was not there. Ba'achah rash, eish. And after the terrible earthquake comes fire. Lo ba'esh Hashem, God was not there in the fire. Ba'achar ha'esh, and after the fire came, kol demama taka. Silent, silent voice. A still, thin sound. Vayihi kishmo Eliyo, when Eliyo heard it, you understand, you know what Eliyo heard? I don't know how he did it, but Moshe, because he's a Navi, he is able to hear that thin, the sounds of silence. The sounds of divine silence. Vayolet ponav ba'adarto. Anyway, this was the, in the Harachamon, after the benching, we said that he covered his face with his cloth. Vayetzir ayamo pesach amor, and he went out and he stood at the opening of the cave. V'hinei. Ein kol vayomer. Malcho poel yo, God asks him the same question, precisely the same question that he hadn't asked before. Vayomer. And he gives precisely the same answer. Kano kineti Hashem elokei tzarkot. I have been zealous for the God of hosts. He also bid for the Reis Lord, because your children Israel have forsaken your covenant at Mizbechol Techo Harosim. They have shattered your altars. That the Viyecho Harbu Mechorim and your prophets, they have killed by the sword. Bo Yivater and Yilavadi. And I remain alone by Yivak Shuvet Nafshi Lekachta. And they want to take my life. You know what? The Kavadishon appears to him and he tells him, you know what? Do me a favor. Leich Shuv. Dark Yechotam Masek. Go to Damascus. Israel was suffering then from Aram, whose capital was Damascus. And we have seen in the Goshen that basically what the Rebbe was telling him, and as Rashi so beautifully says it on the spot, Efshi b'nevuatecha, I can't take your prophecies. You're always condemning my people. You're finding fault with them. I'm sick of it, Elio. You want to find fault? You go out over there to Aram. You take a look at those Fashlubim and Goyim over there. Maybe he's even telling him that someday Jews at the end of the Seder are going to tell you, Shloch Hamos Kol HaGoyim, pour out your wrath against the nations of the world. Don't say a bad word about my people Israel. This is quite a condemnation of Elio and Navi. Quite a condemnation. Let's go further. Let's see number seven. It's a medrash. It looks long and it looks like it's very formidable. Don't worry, it's not so formidable. The second line of the story. Al talshein eved al adonai. Pasuk in Mishlei says, don't speak ill of a servant to his master. Don't go to a master and tell him, you know, your servant is a lazy thing. He's a gunneth. Don't speak ill of a servant to his master. Nikru Yisrael Avodim, Israel are called servants of God. Shenema, ki li b'nei Yisrael Avodim, to me the children of Israel servants. V'nikru ha'nevim Avodim. The prophets are also called avodim. Shenana ki im golos sodol avodam hanaviim. God does not do anything unless he reveals it to his servants, avodam hanaviim. Kach omro knesses v'svol l'neviim. This is what the people of Israel said to the neviim. And this is a medrash in Shir HaShirim. And it's on the pasuk that is not going to be quoted from Shir HaShirim. Al tir'uni v'shacharuti. Don't look at me that I'm dark. Elchosamech b'vona Yosef mi Moshe. Watch what's going to happen over here. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim said, "Al tiruni shani shechachor." Don't take a look at me when I'm all dark and black. Sheshisovatni hashemesh, because I become brown and darkened by the sun. What the pasuk really is saying is, you have to take a look at the inner neshama of a Jew. Don't look only at his outer conduct. There's a lot of good in every Jew. So Klaus says to Nevi'im, don't look at the fact that I am so dark, representing sinful. Because it's only because I've been darkened by the sun. And the idea of darkened by the sun is, listen, I'm living amongst the guy. I'm in a terrible gullus. And you know what? 2,000 years of living amongst a hostile world had an impact on Klal Yisrael. What do you expect? We're all going to come back here after having gone through such a period of 1,900 years amongst the nations of the world. We're all going to come back. Tzadik, can you understand? Take it easy. Take it easy. So Klal Yisrael says, don't look the outside. Take a look in here. Ein chasameh levon ayosef Moshe. There was nobody who was happier, another means a full human being, than Moshe. Vayideshe amar, because he said, shivu nahamorim. In a moment of anger, he referred to the Jewish people as rebellious ones. Shivu nahamorim, listen to me, you rebellious ones. There was a decree upon him, Shalomi Kaneis Lorets, and he shall not go into the land. The Debashim doesn't want to hear Jews speaking ill of Jews. If you want to speak ill of anybody, there is no lack of Sonei Yisrael in the world to talk about. But watch your mouth when you talk about the Jewish people. Dover Acher. Now he goes on to say another thing. Ein chosomeh b'von ayoteh mi Yishayahu. There was none greater than the prophet Yishayahu. V'ayidei sho'omer, because he said to the Malach who spoke to him, u'betoch am t'mei svatayim anokhi yoshev, I live amongst the people whose lips are impure and unclean. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One blessed me, he said to him, Yishayahu, whatever you want to say about yourself, you can say. And the earlier part of the passage, there he said, I am the one whose lips are unclean. Etmor, Mona, what are you talking about? Who gave you the right to speak about the Jewish people? They just wipe them away with one hand. They are a people to maze for time whose lips are impure. Oh, no. Tochami Maxim Talan. Take a look and see what it says over there in Yishayahu. One of the seraphim angels flew over to me, and in his hand he had a mitzvah, a coal, a burning coal. Rav Shmuel said, Ritzvah, you know what Ritzvah means? Rotz peh. Destroy the mouth. L'misha amad delaturia al banai, to the one who speaks ill of my children. You know, like we used to tell our children, you know, they said something bad and wash your mouth out. I used to threaten them with Ajax, because Ajax is stronger than dirt. I imagine the Israeli parents must say, Salam, you know, wash your mouth out with Salam. The Gevashim says to Yishayahu, you spoke ill of my people, shut up the mouth that speaks ill of my people. I don't want to hear that. Meanwhile, remember, back at the ranch, when somebody says we're living now in the worst Golos ever, a Golos by Jews, This is a combination of all of Klal Yisrael. Shatan Achar, who has the right to do that?
In one of my when I had this, I like this sentence. Oh, in my letter to Hamoudi, I write, I'm very surprised that the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation did not soundly condemn this hashkafa of we're in the worst dollars of all, which can only be described, I call it, mega lashon hara against Klal Yisrael for subjecting their brothers and sisters to such awful dollars. And of course, baby, if this is dollars, just keep giving me more. I'll take it all. People say ugly things. And you know what? The terrible thing about it is, it even sounds frum. I'm not going to go any further, but I'm going to say, when I saw this statement written in a year or two ago, in another article in Hamoudi, you know, I should stop reading it. You know, that's of course. But then what would I talk about? And I read, okay. By a student of mine from the yeshiva in Toronto, who wrote in an article that we find ourselves now in the worst exile of all, an exile by Jews. I saw it. You have no idea. I was. The one thing I was certain of, he didn't hear it from me, and he didn't learn it from me. The moment he moved out of my sphere of influence, they ruined him. And then last year, I think that I gave a shiur last year about this. There was an article in the Mishpacha magazine by one of the important rabbis in the United States of America. I remember every word. I'm telling you, I remember every word. If I remember Shas, do I remember statements in Mishpacha or Hamadiyya, I'd be the biggest Rambam in the world. Anyway, he writes that every Pesach, his difficulty with the members of his congregation is, how is he going to explain what we say at the night of the Seder, L'shona Habo V'Yushalayim? And I'm wondering, what's the problem, you know? And he says, as the bitter golus continues unabated. I mean, what world is the guy living in? And that came across as being real from. This guy's real from. Okay, let's go for it. I'll get it out of my system, you know. I think I should pay you for coming. This is therapy for me. The Nevi Shishir Hashir says the same thing it says by Elio Shinema. Vayoma, he said, Karo kineti Hashem alukei tzvakot. Ki ozu britcha b'nei Yisrael. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to the conversation after Elio said this. Listen to the conversation that takes place between God and him. The Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, Briti? Shema Britcha? They broke my covenant? No, maybe it's your covenant. I don't know what you're talking about. What, me? I don't know what you're talking about. I think I once described this as, you know in Yiddish the term Tamavata? You know what Tamavata means? You make yourself nicht wissendig. My covenant, they destroyed. Maybe your covenant. I don't know what you're talking about, Elio. Then, let's see further. And then, they've shattered your altars. God said to him, Mizbechotai? My altars? Shevon Mizbechotecha. Maybe it's your altars, not mine. I don't know what you're talking about. Vet Nivyecha Harubechorev. And your prophets, they killed by the sword. Amalo, God said to him, Nivyai, my prophets? What are you talking about? Va'at mar ichtat loch? What difference does that make to you? Amalo, he said to him, Vo'yivoter anil vadi. I've remained alone. Vo'yivakshu et nafshi lakachta, and they want to kill me too.
Tochami, come take a look at this Aramaic. Tochami, come and see. Mark Tiv Tamal, what is written there? Vayabet, v'yinevi yashav tav ugat etzafim. This is going to be very similar to what happened with Yishayahu. He was sleeping out in the desert, and he wakes up and he sees an ugat b'tzafim, a cake or a some kind of an uga. Do I have to translate uga here? An ugat b'tzafim. Ugat b'tzafim means an uga that was baked on coal. Okay? Like the malach who flew over to Yishayahu ubiyado ritzva. So the Nebi says, Mahu Ritzafim, what does it mean, Ugat Ritzafim? Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rotzpeh, Ritzotzpiyot, B'chol Ma'ashaloma, B'chol Nishama Dolu Turi Arbenei. Shatter and destroy the mouth of the one who speaks evil of my children. Convention doesn't want to hear that kind of stuff. Now, how do you like that? You want to say something good about my people? Okay. You want to speak evil of my people? We have enough hilarious in the world who are doing that every minute of the day. I don't need a chumayim, a rab, a rashiva, a rebbe, getting up and saying we're in the worst goes we've ever been, goes by Eden. They wash those mouths out. All right? Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so then the Midrash begins by, it continues by saying that God tells Eliyahu, go out to Damascus. But you think how odd of God to choose the Jews? Go out over there and take a look at what kind of evil people are there. Don't find evil by my people. Do me a favor, I want to hear it. Number eight. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Rebbe Shalom. I always like him. Because my name is Shalom Ben Yehuda. My father's name was Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Rebbe Shalom. It's Shalom, okay. He's talking about the Shofen Mishpat said that God wants a judgment of righteousness. You know what he wants from the judges of Israel? That they should incline their judgment in order to find Jews innocent. Unless, of course, if they can't. If they can't, then, you know, always is guilty. I said I'm not going to talk about that. All right. Okay? Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Umelandem aleim schusel to Yakovish Baruch." What God wants is that the judges should find the merit of the Jewish people. Mimiyat Tolame. From who do you learn this? Mi Gidon ben Yoash. From Gidon the son of Yoash, one of the. The judges in Sefer Shoftim, Shabiyom of Hoyimstro Betzora. In his days, Jews were in terrible straits. Can you imagine? God was looking for somebody who's going to say a nice thing about his people. And he didn't find, for heaven's sake, he didn't find. Shoyahador down the mitzvahs of the Nasim. Because it was a generation that was poor in deeds and in mitzvahs. Kivan shenim shoschus b'Gidon. He found great merit in Gidon. Shalomar aleim schut. Gidon is the one that found something good to say about the Jewish people. V'yad nikla olav hamalach. Immediately the angel of God appear to him. Shenama, as it says by Gidon, by Yom Malach Hashem, an angel of God came to him by Yom Elo, and he said to him, Lech Koch HaChoseh, go with this great strength of yours, because Schus Shalomadu Ta'avai, the Koch of the fact that you found S'chus for my children. You spoke well of them. And you know, he was really attacking God. He says, where is this God who took us out of Egypt? Why is he letting his people suffer now? But Israel didn't get angry. Finally, somebody is standing up to God about the terrible condition of the Jewish people. Lech b'koch kazeh b'schud b'koch schud shel amanot ha'abonai hevei b'shoft v'ta'om mishpat tzedek. Ah, now we understand when it says in Torah the judges are supposed to judge mishpat tzedek, a judgment of righteousness. She'yu melandim schus ha'ador, they have to find a schus for the generation. So therefore, what happens to Eliyahu? You know what happens to Eliyahu? What happens to Eliyahu is he's going to live forever. He's going to live forever. And he has a job.
To everybody.
His job is that he has to be present at every bris. And I imagine once a week or maybe less, he goes flying up heavenward and God asks him, who? Elio? My people have forsaken my covenant? No, God. You're right. Tell me, Elio, how many brisim would you have? A lot this week, I was there a lot. Even more than last week. Anything special about any of them? Oh, yeah. I was there in parts of the world where the law condemns Brit Mila and Jews were Moshe Nefesh. I've been in the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union was the Soviet Union, and I saw Jews all over simply risking their lives for Brit Mila. I saw Brit Mila in Auschwitz. I saw Brit Mila in the worst places in the world. Galileo. Go down. Go down and come back again and tell me. The Rebbe wants to hear from Eliyahu. Eliyahu's tshuva is that instead of being the one who finds fault with the Jewish people, he comes before God and he tells God, what a great people you have. But you know what's more about Eliyahu? In one of the great svarim of the last century, maybe one of the greatest, the Sefer Ein Habonim Smecha. Yisachar Dov Teichtal, he wrote the Sefer in Budapest in 1943, and then in January of 1945, on a train somewhere to a concentration camp. It was, I think, a Ukrainian God who tore away a piece of bread from a Jew, and Rav Teichtal demanded that he give it back to the starving Jew. And those in the car told him, don't start with him. Anyway, this Ukrainian God, like if any of you have felt very badly about what's happening to the Ukrainians right now, don't waste your compassion. The Ukrainian God clubbed him to death. 45. And he left over a sefer called Ein Habonim Smecha. The basic thrust of the sefer is, it's awesome, that he writes at the beginning that he had been one of the chassidus yidden in Hungary. He was a chacham, very big chacham. And he also, all his life, he believed that it's a school, you're not allowed to go. It's Usa. The Tzion never a bunch of Shuun Buddhist. What are you talking about? And then he saw the Tzadis. He saw what's happening in Europe to Jews. And he just closed himself in a room in Budapest and he thought. And he arrived at the painful conclusion that we made a big mistake. We should have joined with the secular Zionists 50 years ago. We should have been part of those going to Eretz Yisrael to build up the land. We made a mistake, a terrible mistake. And he writes a whole sefer expressing the real Hashkafas HaTorah about Eretz Yisrael. And he ends by saying, yes, Hashem, the baby said, I get out of this alive. I'm going with my family immediately to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't get out. He didn't get out. Unfortunately. He was an awesome man. That Sefer is a classic in our time. So he asks a very fascinating question, and he brings that this question is asked by two giants. Fascinating is that these two giants come from completely different backgrounds. One is the Mabit. The Mabit, Rav Yosef Mitrani, was a member of the Bedin of Rav Yosef Karo in Tzfat in the 16th century. Big giant of a man. And then about 100 years later, 150 years later, there was a Chassidus Shiid by the name of Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev. And it's amazing to see he brings what they both say. They both have the same question. And both of them bring basically the same answer. They ask the following question. In the Gemara, often, when there is a question that remains unresolved, so the Gemara says, Teku. Teku. So in other words, the average Israeli knows Teku, because when plays in a football game or whatever kind of games they have in there, and it's even, you know, they're what?
A tie.
Teku. But no, there is no, we have no way of deciding who won. Teku means we don't have an answer to the question. And we've been taught since we were little kids that Teku stands for four words. Tishbi Yetareitz Kushyot V'Abayot. Tishbi, Eliyahu Tishbi. He's going to answer Kushyot V'Abayot, questions and problems. So they both ask one question. In time to come, we're going to have Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do we have to go ask Eliyahu? We're going to have the giver of Torah with us. So let's ask him the question. So they both say the following. And it is such a fundamental principle and idea. Moshe did not live through 2,500 years, 3,000 years of Jewish history. Eliyahu was here all the time. And the one who's here, and the one who's lived through it, and the one who knows everything firsthand, he's the one who can answer questions. Now it's like, so often I hear, you know, there's got to be a scroll set 100 years ago, etc., quote, unquote. Give me a break. It was set under different circumstances and a different time and place. Go quote Gedolei Yisrael, who said in the first half of the 20th century, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. That's a tragic joke. You can't just quote. You have to know the circumstances. The only one who knows the circumstances of everything is Eliyahu. He knows best what is true because he lived through it. But more than that, you know what Eliyahu represents for me? Eliyahu represents a living book of Jewish history. He lived through it all. And you can't understand anything if you are lacking in a knowledge of Jewish history. Only one who is a totally ignoramus. And worse than that, I'm using a very, very mild word. Only somebody who is a total ignoramus could say, oh, now we're living through the worst galus of all. I'm galus by eating. They, the Rebbeinu should forgive them. God should forgive them. And this is passed off as Hashkafa. But I've asked a number of people, you know, if that's what he said, or that's what they said, no, could be so. Yeah. Let me see. What did I do over here? Well, that's page 3. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing over there in Hamilton. I'm waiting every minute they should send an email that will explode my my computer. They haven't responded yet. I wrote like this: there is what seems to be, quotations, a statement of authentic Torah true Hashgacha that appears occasionally in Hamadiyah, most recent on the 4th of Adar the 2nd, and in other publications, that I believe must be examined very closely and dispassionately. The pronouncement raises extremely serious problems of a religious nature. The Hamadiyah article quoted a Rav who said, quote, "The most difficult gullus to endure is a gullus suffered from other Jews, and therefore we plead, for a final redemption from this terrible gullus." That's a precise, conventional. I love this terrible gullus. We never had it better. So I quote the Hamadiyah. I experienced a great deal of personal pain and anguish just writing that sentence. First of all, it's absolutely false. We are not in Tsarist Russia, Inquisitionist Spain, Crusader ravished Rhineland, Cossack scorched Poland, nor fascist Nazi Germany, nor assimilation ridden America. Claudius Solidarity's experience of the most significant, magnificent era in 2,000 years. Rabbi Avraham Tam, the son of the Bachelor, he was talking about my Rebbe, movingly put the present period in time in its proper Jewish Torah perspective. He said that it's a rule in Jewish history that following every period of extreme suffering, God embraces his people to console them and pour out his blessing to them. And he describes four different periods in Jewish history where Klal Yisrael suffered terribly, and then sort of there was a light that came afterwards, to the point, he said, not me, he said, that it could even usher in the Messianic period. He went through three periods of that sort. I'll mention the last two. He discussed the period of the Renaissance of Jewish learning in the 16th century Tzfat. The home, by the way, the Mabit lived there then. We're talking about a flowering of genius. There was Joseph Caro who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. And not only that, a fascinating historical fact that has to be understood is that at that time, there was a big machlekes in Eretz Yisrael. There were those who wanted to renew the original smicha ordination for one who, to become a member of the Sanhedrin. Why all of a sudden then? I mean, in other words, that the Sanhedrin should be able to paskin all sorts of shalos. A renewal of the Sanhedrin. What happens got into that? So he says, because following the Junta of Spain, the Spanish Inquisition, hundreds of thousands of Jews uprooted. All over the world, thousands died. And the great centers of Torah destroyed. It was such a churban by Klal Yisrael that they felt that obviously this is a time that Mashiach was ready to come, and they could hear the footsteps of Mashiach. And if you want to know the extent to which they felt it, just read through Lecha Dodi. Lecha Dodi was written then by Shlomo Alkovitz. Talks about Ben Yishai, Yerushalayim Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzi'i Mitoch HaFecho Yerushalayim, arise, arise. Yad Ben Yishai Beis Halachmi, Ben Yishai from Beit Lechem is coming. The whole Chododi is a song to the coming of Mashiach. And because they thought that, then we have to be ready. We need a Sanhedrin. We need people who have smicha. Why it didn't happen? We don't know. We don't know. He also said an earlier period was the period of Bar Kokhba, after what Klal Yisrael suffered under Rome. Rabbi Akiva didn't make a mistake when he thought that Bar Kokhba is Mashiach. They knew from the extent of the tzavis that what comes after tzavis is God embracing his people. He uses the example of a father who sees a son who's gone through terrible, terrible suffering. He embraces it. And then he said, the fourth such era was, following the Holocaust, the establishment of Medinas Yisrael. He said those words, I remember those words perfectly. I heard it in Toronto. He was my Rebbe many, many years ago in Torvedos, and I happened to be in Toronto, and it was a Shabbos, and he was visiting Toronto, and he spoke at the Kollel, the Lakewood Kollel, his son. Okay? See? Rav over there. It was fascinating. This is a beautiful sideline. You'll see already what goes on in people's heads. They had invited him to Toronto to speak about Chinuch Hatzmoy, the Aguda system of schools. I'm telling you, I watched everything. 28 minutes he developed the historic idea that after every period of suffering comes a period when God embraces his people and pours out goodness to them. Then he came to the last one. I thought all of those guys would faint. But he said, following the Holocaust, Hakamas Medinas Yisrael was God's embrace for the Jewish people. And then there are 2 minutes left. He's supposed to speak for half an hour. And he spoke 28 minutes about this great rule of Jewish history. Then he says, Ich weiß, as it be gekommen werden bei dem Chinuch Hatzmoy. I know that I'm here to talk about Chinuch Hatzmoy. So he said, you should know Chinuch Hatzmoy is very good. That was the end. The next day, I met some of my students, and I had to find out for me who. There's one of my students, he's a good one. David and Fran Wolf. So I met some fellows and I said, did you hear what Rapan said yesterday? Yeah. Chinuch Hatzmoy is very good. I stood there and I went, oh no. They didn't get it because they've been so trained that this Medina is treif and everything here is treif and it's just so bad and it's the worst goals of all. So they didn't hear what I was talking about. So what does Gold write in his letter? Oh, yeah. Okay, here. Wait, here. I write, Hashem does not embrace his people by casting them into the worst gulf of all. To say that is a denial of Hashem's goodness, an ugly rejection of his benevolence, and shameful ingratitude. That's enough. I don't know, should I read the rest? I gotta go to the next year. But maybe there's another sentence or two that's not as ugly as the rest of it. 3 months after the establishment of the Dinat Yisrael of Dessler, when Yoh Dessler wrote that he who does not see the dramatic change and the complete reversal of the fate of the Jewish people, min ha-kotze el ha-kotze, from one end completely to the other, is blind. Woe to one who will come to the day of judgment still blind and not having been able to see something so real. Oh, okay, then I read some nice things about Israel. Here's why I become ugly. Don't, if they print it, don't let them print this. Furthermore, if the Golas who suffer by the hands of fellow Jews are so bad, in fact, the worst Golas, why don't you leave? Run away. Save yourself from this terrible exile. Breathe the fresh air of France, the tranquility of Ukraine. Join the Muslims of England. Save your souls from enslavement to us. The golden Medina beckons. Be free of the yoke of Tzionim and Zruknikim. Get a green card. Borough Park, here we go. Why stay here and suffer? Go, be rid of us. Come to think of it, this is the ugliest. I'll have to cut this out. Since the Eritreans and the Sudanese like you here so much, maybe we can exchange, maybe an exchange of populations can be arranged. Is that ugly? That's very bad. That's very bad. They're all good. You'll still come back this year, you know? But it's not true what I'm saying. There is, of course, a secondary gain from this statement that is warmly welcomed. The people of Chutzlars don't even have to consider Aliyah at all. Who would willingly subject his family to the worst goals of all? Retzotzpeh! God says it to Yeshayahu, and he says it to Eliyahu. Shut the mouth of those who speak ill. And therefore, I'm going to finish this. It's going to be history. We're going to learn the last source, number 9, one line. This is from a portion sefer by Rav Tzadik HaKohen Milublin. Rav Tzadik, I can't even begin to tell you about Rav Tzadik. He says, you know what the ikar of Yahadut is? Being called by a Jewish name. Kemo shenema. Ze yomar l'Hashem ani. U'b'shem Yisrael yechuna. He's going to carry a Hebrew name. Shelo yelo rak malozu shemachuna b'shem Yisrael. If a Jew has only this in his favor, that he has a Jewish name, die. That's enough. Do you hear what a holy, saintly Adam Tuttle says? Not Harry and not Max and not the. I want to say Sydney, that's my name. I'm a nice understanding. I mean, all the Chutzlars names, I still see my fellow rabbis, the names they want. Here, even the worst choleria, Ehud, what a beautiful name Ehud is. That's what he says. If you have that Mila alone, the B'Shem Yisrael Yechuna, that's it.
Okay, guys, let's go.
Don't just close that. Just, no, the other, that's it, guys.